Hi, this is Anita from the Global Trade Gal. This month we're talking a lot about product design or different aspects of product design or giving some ideas about some things to do with product design. Today I want to talk a little bit about research, or in particular, the best ways to conduct ethnographic research for product design. Now, if you work for a big company, they probably have a team of people that are doing research for all types of product design. And that's great because then that gives you data, lots and lots of data to be able to work with. But if you don't have that, there's still ways that you can be able to do it if you know how to do it or what to look for. Again, I'm a great believer that the global supply chain is a lot more complicated than it seems from someone who's looking in from the outside in. There are many things that you must consider, and who's ever a part of the global supply chain, no matter which part of the supply chain you are, from manufacturer to, you know, to the wholesaler, to the freight companies, it's good to be able to understand a little bit about the entire process in the global supply chain itself. So that's why I'm a great believer in being able to understand all these different aspects of things that take place in the global supply chain. And of course, product design and product development is a huge part of that. And it's also a very important part because simply, if you don't produce products that people want to buy, it's not going to sell. You're not going to be able to manufacture them. And of course, you'll be stuck with a lot of products that nobody wants. So understanding the product design, anyone from the manufacturer to the shipper to the product designer, is extremely important. The best ways to conduct ethnographic research, I'm going to talk about some of the ways, is first you have to define your research objectives. Whenever you're doing research, you need to understand, what am I researching? What am I looking at? You need to set clear objectives for what the research will be. You need to select the setting where you will observe the participants. You know, sometimes, some companies, they might be big enough, they might be able to poll people, they might be able to, bring people in, they might be able to do groups of people and say, which one of these do you like better? And they might be able to have enough groups of people that they can get a feeling for which one people prefer and why. You need to really determine what participants you're going to study, how you're going to study them. You need to collect the data. You know, of course, data is a very important part of this ethnographic research. And, you know, the data should be the driving force behind it, along with some other aspects of it, which we will talk about it later. You know, you observe behaviors and interactions that people might have with a specific product. You can analyze the data then. You know, look for patterns, look for themes, look for things which are coming up with the patterns and with the themes. You can synthesize your findings. You communicate your insights to the team. You apply then the insights to the design, and you can evaluate and refine. Now, this of course is very, you know, big, and if you're like me and you're doing a lot of product, a lot of design, a lot of things, it's impossible for us to do this for every single product. But there are some things that you can do. Like, for example, if you're like we are, we're in the home decor industry, and if I happen to go into a home store, you know, I can start, you know, talking to salespeople there. Hey, you know, what sales? What do people like? You know, I can gather some data that way. If I go into enough home stores and just sort of, you know, ask the right questions, a lot of times you can gather information. I have seen this in our industry where, we have reps that are out there a lot selling. And the good companies I've seen, they use their reps and they ask their reps their opinion. What are people saying? What do people like? What do people don't like? And then they sort of gather that all together and then they say, well, you know, 80% of the reps said that they like this and here's the reason why. You're always going to have some for their areas of the country where things are not going to sell. This, I'm talking specifically for the United States. And of course, it can make a difference if somebody's selling for Europe. They might just say, you know, in Europe, nobody will buy this. But, you know, or maybe they'll buy it in France, but they're not going to buy it in Germany. Or, you know, they'll buy it in England, but they're not going to buy it in Germany. I mean, there could be lots of different variables that take place according to products and why some products sell in some places and some products don't sell in other places. That's why you need to be able to define your research and to understand what you're doing the research for. The thing I wanted to talk about is that one of the things that we don't talk about so much is the unseen power of intuition, or what you might call that gut feeling. And this really is what I feel is the difference between a good designer and a great designer. You know, the journey of a producer or a designer is laden with decisions. You know, some are very straightforward and others are, you know, they can be very complex. And, you know, there's just a sheer volume of data. There's information, there's trends, there's other things that you need to look at. You need to bring it all together and decide what is it that you want. And, you know, for me, the good companies that I work with, they really, really understand their customer. Like, I could show them something and they might say, I really like that. You know, but Anita, that's not going to sell for my customer. My customer will buy this instead. And that's also a form of product research. And that's also intuition. That is knowing who their customer base is and what their customers will buy or not buy. And that usually comes after years and years and years of, you know, maybe they bought some things that were wrong. People didn't buy it. They bought some things that were right and people bought it. So it comes from learning. And, you know, we all have this trial and error going on when it comes to product design. You know, developing product is not a perfect type of thing. And it never will be a perfect type of thing. Of course, you want to get as close as you can, but it's not perfect. But here's where it comes in. Experience, the foundation of gut feeling. And this is what I want to talk about, intuition or the experience angle. You know, the gut feeling is not something you are born with. People aren't just born with this gut feeling for product design. Yes, some people have a better eye than others, but it's cultivated over years of immersion in the industry. You know, each product, each challenge, each success, and each failure also adds a layer of this knowledge. You know, so really it becomes that, each product, challenge, success, or failure, you learn about this. So it's the understanding so deep that this can bypass the conscious thought and manifest as a feeling. You know, and this is where you really get, you know, someone who's a good designer, someone who's been around for a long time. They just understand and they're kind of like, I just got this feeling. I've just got this gut feeling that this will do well. Or I've got this gut feeling that this will be the trend. And if you are working with somebody like that who has years and years on the ground or have had their boots on the ground and who really have been understand this, I would perk up and listen to them and learn from them. Because that is, no matter what kind of designer you are, that takes years and years of learning to be able to get to that type of knowledge. It really takes a long time, and it takes a lot of trial of error, and it takes a lot of understanding, just sort of this feeling about here is something. So, you know, while data is really important, and you can have all the data in the world, you know, you can have the demographics, you can have the preferences, you can have all of this data, you can have all these, you know, groups come in and you can talk to all these people. A lot of times some of the great decisions are made by the gut or just by intuition, where somebody says, you know, that just seems right. This seems like this is going to be a good thing. So now this comes to my point that a good product designer will know how to balance between the data and their intuition, that they will know how to make this balance between what their gut is telling them and what their intuition is telling them. I've written a pretty long blog post all about this. It's called The Best Ways to Conduct Ethnographic Research for Product Design. And if you're a product designer, if you're interested in this, I would recommend that you read this blog post. It might give you some ideas to help you with your own research. We'll put a link in the description for you. But anyone who's in the global supply chain, it's important to understand the basis how people arrive at producing and manufacturing the products that they do, that it's important to understand the different processes that go through, and also to understand that sometimes it's that intuition or the gut that can make all that difference in the world. This is Anita from the Global Trade Gal. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate you, our listeners. We'd like to thank you for being part of our community. We know that without you, our listeners, this would not be possible. And we hope that you'll give us a thumbs up. You'll subscribe. We'd love to hear you press that subscribe button. Every time you subscribe, we're going to give our little doggy or cat a treat. We'd like to thank you just for being here. And thank you for our technical team for making this possible.